Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Hope you had a great 4th of July celebration. If you live anywhere near Washington, it was a hot one, but it was a good fireworks show. Jim, it was just a couple days ago we were slapping our foreheads over comments from Eric Fernstrom, he of Etch-A-Sketch fame, and saying that no, the mandate in Massachusetts was not a tax, which is exactly playing into what the Obama administration is saying, that despite a tax being the only plausible way the Supreme Court finds this constitutional, it's not really a tax. It's just a penalty. Well, fortunately for Mitt Romney, he got a chance to answer this himself. He was talking with Jan Crawford of CBS News up in New Hampshire, and she asked him about what exactly the court had ruled and whether the mandate is a tax.
You now believe that it is a tax at the federal level, that the Supreme Court has said it's a tax, so it is a tax?
Well, I said that I agreed with the dissent, and the dissent made it very clear that they felt it was unconstitutional. But the dissent lost. It's in the minority. And so now the Supreme Court has spoken, and while I agreed with the dissent, that's taken over by the fact that the majority of the court said it's a tax, and therefore it is a tax. They have spoken. There's no way around that. You can try and say you wish they had decided a different way, but they didn't. They concluded it was a tax. That's what it is, and the American people know that President Obama has broken the pledge he made.
And there you go. I don't think that would have been too hard for the surrogates to say in the past week before Romney finally got this closer to being right. Jim, he still has issues now about whether his own mandate in Massachusetts was a tax, and you can talk about federal level and state level. It's still a complicated issue for him, but at least he got the fundamental point out of the Supreme Court decision, is that the president just basically launched the largest middle class tax increase in American history.
Yeah, Greg, I've been thinking about this. There really does seem to be sort of an ebb and flow to a campaign season. And it looked like for a good chunk of May and a good chunk of June, Romney was having things were coming up roses for him, that the economic news for Obama had been bad, and unemployment actually ticked up 1%. And we kind of had this feeling that the Obama economic record was becoming a serious liability. Romney outraised him for 1 month, and then you just kind of had, Democrats fleeing the Democratic convention in North Carolina, the Wisconsin recall election. It seemed like there was a great deal of momentum for Romney. And then in the last week or so, it stopped. And some of this is just outside forces, i.e. John Roberts deciding, Obamacare is constitutional. Let's just call it a tax. And then there's some stuff which is self-inflicted. And it really felt like the Fernstrom statement really was an avoidable mistake. If Obamacare is very unpopular, Romney should be very much opposed to it. this should not be, for a guy who allegedly follows the polls, they take a very complicated nuance. Well, technically it's a penalty. We agree with it's a penalty. No, it's a tax. Think back to when Barack Obama was running against Hillary Clinton. He was mocking the mandate, and he said, look, I don't think you really help people who don't have health insurance by punishing them, by imposing new fees on them and new taxes upon them to make them buy health insurance. Very few people don't want to have health insurance at all. They find it pretty darn expensive, and they don't find it worth the cost, et cetera, et cetera. Well, finally, Romney is closer to it. It's frustrating. It took him a couple of days. This was, I think, a really missed opportunity for him. The good news is that people are not paying attention to this the way we are. Apparently, Pew had said some survey that said one-third of Americans have no idea what the Supreme Court decision said. Now, some of that might be because it's really confusing that John Roberts seemed to be for it, seemed to be against it, and the whole thing turned into a mess. But Romney, with some sharp ads, and if he just kind of comes out and focuses on this for a couple of days, still has an opportunity to get a big win out of this, because Obamacare remains pretty darn unpopular. But somebody's got to make the case against it, and for obvious reasons, Mitt Romney's not quite the right guy in this area, that he brings his own challenges to it, and some of them are very much of his own making, not just of his own policies, but when he just can't seem to get out of his own way when talking about the topic.
Yeah, certainly the case, and he's got plenty of people who are willing to support him if he can just get a little clearer on the issue despite that history, but that history is going to be an issue, as we've mentioned throughout this campaign, and any time now that he calls the Obama mandate a tax, the next question is, well, what about your mandate? Was that a tax? And he can talk about how state laws are different than federal laws, and that his law didn't go to the U.S. Supreme Court and officially declared a tax, but the similarities are there, certainly. So that's our good martini today, folks. On to
and America had another birthday. Yay! Yay. Good martini.
Oh, yeah. So on to martini number two now, and we know that tomorrow, being the first Friday, in July. It means we're going to get the job numbers from the Labor Department for the month of June. And some of the early private sector expectations suggest that things are going to look better in June than they did in May. The projections are somewhere around 100,000. Some people say a good month would be about 125,000. Well, one of our favorite economists, certainly Jim's favorite economist, James Pethakoukas over at American Enterprise Institute, says that if we get 125,000 jobs in the month of June, that means we're at a pace of 158,000 per month for this year. That's a little bit better than last year. But he says we need 362,000 jobs per month every month for the next 3 years to get down to 6%. So the idea that we're just getting over the six-digit mark here, which is better than not getting there, is still not good enough to tread water and certainly not enough to get this unemployment rate down to anywhere we want it to be.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating how much the tone of the coverage depends entirely on 40,000 jobs, you think, Greg?
Right.
You know, let's say tomorrow was 99,000. People would say, oh my goodness, that's a terrible number, dramatically missing the expert, and the coverage would be very bad. If it was 139,000, people would say, oh, things are looking up. When in fact, actually, in a nation of 300 million people, that's not that significant. As we said, the magic number is how much do you need to keep pace? We keep generating new workers, which is generally a good thing. But when you just aren't creating enough jobs to do that, you're not going to see any serious chipping away at this, at the 8.2% unemployment we've had. I think we're now reaching 40 months of 8% unemployment or higher. And what's kind of fascinating is poll numbers will indicate that people feel like the economy is improving. And boy, if it's improving, you really set the bar low because it seems like there really should be much better performance than what we're getting. We'll see what tomorrow's numbers are, but there's a hard time believing it's going to signify a dramatic improvement. And what we have is an economy that's barely growing, sputtering along. And the message is going to be, are you happy with what you're getting, America? Because there's no reason to believe the next 4 years under Obama will be significantly different than the ones we've had for the last 3.5 years.
Well, Obama does have two options here. He could order a 2012 census close to Election Day, and that would get some people on board.
Census is every year. More frequent numbers.
Or he could convince 362,000 people to stop looking for work every month. That's probably a number that's closer to more realistic for him than actually adding jobs. But just some very sobering news on what we need to do to really get growth going here and how far we are away from doing that. But on to our crazy martini now. And you may have heard this story over the last couple of days, but a town in Oregon, DePoe Bay, I think is how it's pronounced, experienced its quietest July 3rd in about two decades. They've had fireworks shows there since 1993, but not this year. Town officials reluctantly announcing they canceled the fireworks show following pressure from federal wildlife managers who said the noise disrupts protected seabirds, particularly species like the Brandt's cormorant that nests at Pirates Cove. So, Jim, we've had fireworks really ever since the founding of the country. Somehow, suddenly, the seabirds have become more important than celebrating our independence for 15 minutes. I'm not sure that's really going to be a permanent destruction to their habitat. So, once again, the crazies win.
Well, Greg, the important thing is, remember, nature does not have anything that happens in summer that involves large flashes of light and loud noises. Nothing like, say, a thunderstorm, which I would figure can't be that different from a fireworks show to a small bird. Kind of fascinating and frustrating that they could not reach any type of agreement or alternative spot or something like that. It just kind of seemed that no one elected these folks to anything. Theoretically, I suppose the president appoints the head of the EPA. But this is one of those circumstances in which the community is completely ignored by Washington, overruled by federal regulators, and a good example of government run amok. The fact that this is happening on Independence Day just gives it even heavier-handed symbolism of this whole thing. So typically depressing. You wonder why people live in places like Oregon while this is happening. But let's face it, this could happen anywhere. If it was up to the Oregonians, they probably would be having their fireworks somewhere. So, happy birthday, America.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't get the San Diego fireworks show off their coast with the birds, where all 20 minutes worth of fireworks went off in 15 seconds. That would have been a fun incident. But the celebration doesn't stop. Happy birthday, Jim Garrity.
Oh, thank you, Greg. Yes, 1 year older. You get used to being the young guy at an institution, and then one day you look up and you're not, Greg. I don't know what day that happened, but thank you. I have a feeling the hair will be a lot grayer between now and November, but thankfully one extra martini today in honor of the birthday, and then, you know, back to the old bones. We'll have to require slightly less from here on out.
There you go. Well, enjoy the day. It's always a festive week when your birthday's right after the 4th of July. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Thank you, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.